ESPN 97.5.
All right, then.
KFNC.
Are you ready for this?
Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Let's do this.
Vasquez, beaten away by Buffon. And then Ronaldo.
To the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, everybody knows that this Saturday, right here in Houston, you got quarterfinals at Energy Stadium. Haiti and Canada. Haiti, after that amazing result last night, taking on Canada and John Herdsman. And then it's Mexico, Costa Rica. Mexico getting a little bit of a challenge there with the Ticos getting knocked off. So that is another great matchup. And listen, it's going to be 50, 60,000 people at Energy Stadium for this. So what am I going to do right now? I'm going to do something great. Pair of tickets right now to the Gold Cup semifinals, 713-780-3776. Caller number 5, 713-780-3776. And this Gold Cup has brought some real interest, and a perfect time to bring in right now former Newcastle defender. He is the Fox analyst, and he has been working on the Gold Cup here consistently. Warren Burton. Warren, thank you very much for coming on the show. So what first jumps out to you about this Gold Cup? Because it has been very entertaining.
Yeah, I think entertaining has been one. There's been a few firsts in this with Bermuda getting their first results and the way that they played against Haiti. And obviously getting their first win was phenomenal for them, speaking to their coach and getting to know some of their coaching staff, which has been great. Cruz as well have gone on and got their first points as well against a difficult team like Honduras, so it's been great for them. And then Haiti topping a group, as you just said, with a wonderful performance against Costa Rica in New Jersey and catching a wonderful result in the dire moments of a game. So it's been a tournament of firsts. So we go into now the quarterfinals coming along, and some giant teams that are going head to head quite early in the competition. So it's been a real joy to be involved in.
Yeah, and tonight a couple of games tonight taking place at the home of LAFC tonight. You got Jamaica, Curacao, and then Honduras, El Salvador. Now Honduras has been a big disappointment. We watch Albert Elise and Ramel Kiyoto down here in Houston, Minor Figueroa. But they've been a disappointment. They're out of the tournament, yet can maybe save a little face here against a rival in El Salvador.
Yeah, but I think in their games, particularly Jamaica, they've unfortunately ended not to get an equaliser in the dying moments. You know, their form coming into it was one win in nine, I think, and then they obviously had a big beating by Brazil. So I was like, you're very thinking, well, disappointed. But the actual performances have been good, but you get judged by your results. And against the Minnows, they had 35 shots and 13 on target, but haven't been able to put the ball in the back of the net. So that's been a big disappointment for them, and particularly with the quality that they've shown. So the performances have been good, but the results have been poor. And I'm still waiting for Jamaica, Glenn. I've built these up, and they've got the last two finals of the Gold Cup and got beat by the US and obviously Mexico last time out. So they have that, and then you throw Leon Bailey on top of those, doing marvellous things in the Bundesliga. And you expect them to be the X factor, and they've been disappointed in their performances. They're expected to win today, like you said, in LA, but they need a performance. It's not just a win. I think they need a good performance as a team. I think they need to go out, and obviously El Salvador, they're stubborn, they're organised, they grind teams out, and they're in with a chance. You wouldn't want to play against El Salvador because the discipline that they've shown, the organisation that they've shown, they're a real hard nut to crack, really, with their style. But I'm looking at Jamaica to try and put a performance. I've been disappointed a little bit with Costa Rica. I think they maybe might raise their game against Mexico, but it might too late because Mexico looked like the best squad and roster of players that they've got in this tournament. And the US have got a good result against Trinidad and Tobago. So I'm looking for Jamaica now just to make a little bit of a statement.
Let's talk a little bit about the Reggae Boys because, obviously some of these players are playing in other places. Some fatigue is always something that comes into these tournaments that can be used in a variety of ways. Why is it that Jamaica sometimes just can't kind of pull it together in these tournaments. In the past, they've done well. I remember Giles Barnes' free kick knocking out the United States. But why do you think it's a struggle in this particular tournament?
I think maybe having the pressure of being one of the favorites. We spoke to Lawrence, the young left-back, who's at New York Red Bulls. And, you know, his thing was that we like being the underdog. We like being the player, the team that, you know, everybody writes us off, and we thrive in that environment. Well, they're not now, because like you just said, they've got to two finals in the last two Gold Cups, come against two nations that are always expected to win this competition and got beat. And they had a good performance against the US a few weeks ago where they beat them 1-0. So I think a lot of people have took note. And as I said, Glenn, if you throw on top of that Leon Bailey, he's only 21 years of age, but he could have played maybe for England and he's had different opportunities, but he chose Jamaica to go and represent. And you think, well, with the organisation that they had, the ability they have in midfield, and then put him on top of that. And I think maybe the expectation and pressure is a little bit too much, because, as I said, they've always seemed to thrive in that underdog position. And now the spotlight's on them. They've got to perform and go out there and obviously try and win games, and not just win games, but play well as well. So the public need that, and they demand it.
He's Warren Barton, Fox analyst. Tonight will be busy. Jamaica, Curacao, then the nightcap is Honduras, El Salvador. People in Houston are going to be checking out the Honduras game with all the connection to the Houston Dynamo. Players that have stood out and maybe under the radar. Now, look, you're a guy that covers Major League Soccer. You follow MLS. Any players that have jumped out to you in this Gold Cup that could be potential MLS players, and I'm sure there's every single MLS scout at these games and checking these games out, but sometimes some of these players from the Caribbean might go under the radar.
Yeah, well, Bermuda jumps out straight at me. There's the kid Lewis at Charleston Battle in the USL League. He's played really well. Good left foot, good engine, can play. So people in the game would probably know about him. Simmons is another player that plays in that team. Got a goal and assist in the last game out. And obviously played very, very well in his performance. So they're ones that have jumped out in that respect. And Boyd, maybe with the US, you know, a little bit of the unknown. I know they're obviously a big nation, but he's really hit the ground running. I think Greg Berhalter has been pleasantly surprised. He put him in it, not really knowing what he's going to get from the young player, and he's come out and performed well and really led this US team. So there are players out there, you know, players that have been playing well. Levrock at the back as well, he's been immense in some of the games. So you've got to look around. But I always think when first appearances, you look at a player, but you've got to look at them at least once or twice. And that's what's really impressed me with these players I've just mentioned, that, you know, it's not just one performance or 45 minutes. They've done it over a number of games. But I'm sure there's a lot of people looking out at these players and taking note.
Warren, let's take a look at the U.S. That was an emphatic win. It was a win that was needed to capture hearts and minds, confidence, all those things. But, boy, you know, we so tend to go overboard in this country. It's one win against Trinidad and Tobago, and, you know, there is a small element saying, you know, oh, everything's going to be great again. We're going to win the Gold Cup.
But wasn't that Trinidad that knocked you out? The World Cup as well. So,
I think that's the game we were supposed to have played a couple of years ago.
Exactly, yeah. You think that's how you should have played. You know, Glenn, what I really like is Christian Pulisic. You know, Landon Donovan's gone now. He's retired. He's not the face of the U.S. national team. They needed a player to step up, and, you know, it hasn't been Jose Altidore, and it hasn't been Michael. They needed someone else, and Christian Pulisic has been that player and personality that I think everybody's been hoping to do. And, again, we've seen a lot of him in the Bundesliga. I liked his interview afterwards saying, yeah, I did play with a chip on my shoulder. I did want to go out there and prove a point. And I think that's when the U.S. are at their best, when they have got a point to prove, when they want to go and have a play with a chip on their shoulder and show the opposition that they are a better team. We aren't a team that's going to score goals. And I think it's important, again, not just to, you know, win the game 1 or 2-0, but to really drive it home and get 5-6 goals was important, particularly when you've seen Canada get some goals. Mexico have got some goals as well. So I think from that point of view, I was pleased for the U.S. and particularly him to say, look, I'm ready now to come out of the shadows and lead this team forward for the next 10 years, hopefully.
Yeah, this is his team, no question. U.S. will take on Panama on Wednesday. Trinidad and Tobago will take on Guyana. Just back to that. Let's go to Christian Pulisic, and let's go to a guy that, you know, we think is ultra-talented, who's done so well in the German Bundesliga, and Tyler Adams. And I'm always of the theory, and it's just my humble opinion, that players of that caliber, you keep them in the places that they thrive. So Pulisic, maybe his starting point is a wide position. And Tyler Adams has been on one of the best teams in the Bundesliga, a tremendous holding midfield player. And I know there's some experimentation with those guys. How do you feel about that with Greg Berhalter? Why would you want to change Tyler Adams into a right back? Is there really a big enough benefit, and why would we do that, and who are we accommodating?
Yeah, for me as well, it's like Weston McKennie for Schalke. He's played right back, centre forward, midfield. Play them in their best positions. I know they're young and they have to adapt to different areas, but they should have been doing that when they're 15, 16, 17 years of age. Tyler Adams, for me, is a number eight or a midfield player, whatever you want to play, 6, 8. He's that type of player. When you play him right back, you lose that driving force in midfield. You lose that player that's going to get the energy and the range of passing and movement up front to help that front line. I think you lose him there. Yeah, you can experiment and say, well, if we have a lot of the ball and we're going out on the flanks and he's going to get the ball, but you've got other players, Yedlin can do that. I don't think you need to compensate too much and take... You know, you go look at Chelsea, what Chelsea have done with N'Golo Kante. He's played and done a job playing as a number eight, but he's the best number six in the world. Okay, they go on and qualify, but he would do a job. And Tyler Adams, you put him left back, he'd do a good job. You put him left wing, right, he'd do a job. But his best position is playing in that midfield area. And I think, you know, Greg is growing into this job. He's growing into the expectations. I think the friendly games beforehand was a big wake-up call. The Venezuela game, it's like, and the Jamaica, it was, well, we're doing well, we've had a couple of good results, and then bang, bang, you lose two games, and now the knives are out. And I think he realised pretty quickly, Greg, that, OK, I've got to perform and win games as quick as I can and play my players in their best position. So I think he realised he wasn't going to be given the time that he maybe wants an experiment. He's got to go out there and perform because he's under pressure. You know, the women are doing so well in the Women's World Cup, and now they look to the men to get some pride. So I think that point of view, he learned very quickly, a better player. But Glenn, I'm like you. I think if your best position is midfield, left wing, right back, whatever it is, playing there. You can do a job by all means if you get caught out of some position or someone gets injured in a game. But Tyler Adams is arguably your best midfield player. So, you know, Will Trapp's decent, but he's nowhere near the same bracket of Weston McKennie and Tyler Adams and Christian Pulisic. I think if you put them three together, you've got one hell of a good midfield balance and energy and quality in there. So, that's where I would build a team around them three and then put the pieces around them.
Warren, listen, tremendous stuff, great insight. Have a great time calling Jamaica, Curacao tonight, Honduras, El Salvador, and we thank you as always for your time on the show.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Keep it going. Enjoy the show.
All right, that's the one and only Warren Barton, a former Newcastle defender, on the call for Jamaica, Curacao, Honduras, El Salvador tonight, and we'll have an eye on the Honduras game tonight here because it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Romel Kyoto, Albert Elise, and Minor Figueroa. All right, we're going to take a break. Before we go to break, I just want to remind you about our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. By the way, they're bilingual. All right, so if you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, you might work in a plant or refinery, you might even drive an 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm will have you covered 24-7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. And we appreciate them as our presenting sponsor here in Houston and also for our version on Horn FM in Austin. So we'll take a break with that. We'll make it a King's Court break.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Back for Bradley. Looking across to the far side. Lima, dangerous area. Chauncey Zardes is there. And finally the second for the United States. Chance again, Morris on the giveaway, trying to find space. Jordan Morris weaving through, hands it off. Pulisic, there we go, 4-0.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, a couple of places where you can be watching the Gold Cup, the Copa America, the AFCON, and, of course, the Women's World Cup. A couple of great spots. Hugh O'Connor, 762 O'Cady Freeway in the Marquee Entertainment Center. They got 18 TVs in there, a big screen, all kinds of great whiskey offerings. They do have that wonderful Guinness on tap. Get over there. Go see our good buddy, Peter, You remember him from the Gorgeous Gale. It's Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, also the home of the great Liverpool supporters group here in Houston, headed up by Matt and all the great guys at Liverpool, including Roger. All right. Kings Court is the other place to be in Edo. 903 Hutchins, shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium, 13 monitors, all your soccer-watching desires. Get down there for the Dynamo game this weekend. And the Dynamo game on Wednesday night. Actually, they're having a watch party tomorrow night, so get over there. And speaking of the Dynamo on the Cube and Kings Court, Dynamo color analyst Eddie Robinson also doubles as the assistant coach for the Houston Dash, joining us now. Eddie, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. Always enjoy a little conversation with you.
Well, let's do it. I have had a hard time getting you in studio lately, but we'll do that in the future. Okay, let's talk about the Dynamo on the road. We did see and we did call some very difficult road losses, but in those losses to L.A. and Seattle earlier in the year, we said to ourselves, boy, this has the look of a better road team. Now, that road team included Albert Elise, Ramel Kyoto, and others like that. They did not have those players in Portland in the 4-0 loss. What's your biggest takeaway from the Portland game this past Saturday?
Wow. Biggest takeaway. I don't know if I have one individual biggest takeaway, but one that's just kind of biting at me is, where's Juan David Cabezas? The last two seasons, he's been indispensable for the Houston Dynamo, and now that there's a chance for him to play, players are gone in the Gold Cup, he's still struggling to get minutes. That surprises me. I'm really curious. I'd be really curious to hear Wilmer Cabrera or someone from the staff take on Juan David Cabezas and why it's so difficult for him to get the team.
My gut tells me, Eddie, there's something still wrong with him coming back from injury, and I know the Dynamo haven't said anything about that, but he just doesn't look normal. He doesn't look right. He doesn't look that aggressive, hard-tackling, hard-hitting Juan David Cabezas we saw, which just, I mean, if you're going to just, you know, go through the theory of just eliminating what it could be, you get down to injury.
Yeah, I don't get it. And when you look at that game against Portland, a 4-0 loss, you can't tell me that 100% Juan David Cabezas doesn't help that game. He doesn't help defensively. He doesn't help break up plays. He doesn't help win the ball farther up the field to give this Dynamo attack, this makeshift Dynamo attack, I don't know if that's the right word for it, makeshift, but without Kyoto, without Elise, without Memo Rodriguez, it's just not as potent. And you need to try to make up for it somewhere. And for me, I think the first thing would be winning the ball further up the field. And that's what Juan David Cabezas brings. So, I don't know. We'll see if Wilmer Cabrera decides to change anything on Wednesday night in San Jose.
Eddie Robinson joining us, color analyst on the Cube, 9 o'clock. We'll kick it off with the pregame show, 9:30 from San Jose against Matias Almeida and the Earthquakes. The Earthquakes are on the rise right now. Let's get back to, you know, the Dynamo in Portland. One shot on goals, not going to cut it. Now, to be fair, Ronaldo Pena's coming back from injury, and then it was flanking them was Tommy McNamara and Marlon Hairston. Hairston did hit the post. At a time, I think the game was 0-0 because I think then Portland then went down and scored. But this is a time of opportunity for others. And, boy, these are the moments you say to yourself, this is your chance to impress a manager.
It really is. And depth is something that Wilmer Cabrera started talking about in the offseason. And that if they were going to compete in CONCACAF Champions League and in this new, you know, this event that's coming up here, this tournament between the Mexican and MLS teams and defend U.S. Open Cup and make the playoffs, she needed to have depth. And I'm not sure that the Dynamo are there. I think you can't use the returning from injury excuse for Ronaldo Pena after his performance in the Open Cup. I thought he did fairly well. He's a scrapper. He's a guy that people have been asking to get minutes from, but the players in front of him have done so well. And Marmon Otis, I know that he was out of the country and then it was difficult to get him back in on time to be impactful in that game, but he's got to play and he's got to score goals on Wednesday night because from what I hear, rumors are that the Hondurans will join back up with the Dynamo in San Jose, but I don't believe that they'll be playing. So that'll be interesting to see if you can get any kind of minutes out of those guys. It'd be huge. And again, it's a Wednesday night on the road. Then they travel straight to New England for another road game, the third road game in a week. So we talk about depth, and we talk about how Wilmer Cabrera and Matt Jordan really wanted to go come out of this offseason and start preseason with really 2-11 and that can compete. And I'm not 100% sure that that second 11 really can compete in the Western Conference this year, that you've got to have that first group's got to be healthy for this playoff push. It's got to come. It's got to start sooner than later.
But we know that's not realistic. This wasn't a realistic start to the season with this type of a schedule. And now you got this really unrealistic, crazy travel schedule. But, you know, I think that's where, boy, you really got to be careful now, because this is something that could, you know, you don't want this to downward spiral right now after you did a wonderful job of accumulating, you know, in and around 24 points here. So I guess my gut is can that change in San Jose? And you mentioned the big storyline is we're likely to see, and I got to think, Mauro Manotas comes back in the starting lineup. I don't think you're going to see the Hondurans. They got a game against El Salvador tonight. They're going to fly down there and play in that game. And I don't believe Ramel Quioto. I don't believe Minor Figueroa. I don't think Albert Elise. These guys are not going to play on Wednesday. I mean, they got a game tonight. They're likely going to all be starting against El Salvador, even though they're out of the Gold Cup. So the storyline then in San Jose becomes the return of Mauro Manotas.
Yeah, without question. I mean, he's been on quite a roll. And when you look at where the Dynamo currently sit in the table, it's not really that bad. But then when you look at how they got there, a very home-heavy schedule at the beginning of the season, and now you've got a lot of road games, all of the, not just the points that the Dynamo built up, but the confidence that they were able to accrue. I think Mauro Manotas has to continue to score goals in order to maintain that confidence, in order for Wilmer Cabrera to keep this team's spirit high and to gain really, really valuable points on the road. The problem with Mauro is, we've seen it, he needs service. He needs service from Ramel Quioto, Memo Rodriguez, Albert Elise. These players aren't going to be there. So can Tommy McNamara step up and get this service for Mauro Manotas? That's the question. Will he get the service he needs to score the goals that the Dynamo need him to get? That's the question, and we'll know the answer in a little over 24 hours.
Yeah, I think you're right. Again, it's on the Cube, 9 o'clock. It'll kick off, pregame show. We'll set you up. But the challenge really remains simply the same, Eddie, than it was going into the Portland game is, you know, the big question is, can the Dynamo win on the road? And then the second question is, can they do it without Albert Elise and Ramel Quioto and Minor Figueroa? So that storyline remains the same. The other thing that's something to worry about is conceding 8 goals in second halves of the last 3 games, including 2 in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup.
And we talked about at the beginning of the season how important it was to have consistency across that back four. We know that DeMarcus is going to probably miss a few games as the season goes on, as Wilmer's managing his minutes, and Adam Lundqvist has played the best he has since he's come to Houston. But that center back pairing, when you're missing Maynard Figueroa beside Kiki Struna, it's just not the same. You're not going to be as good defensively. And again, I go back to Juan David Cabezas in front of those center backs and what he's done the last couple of years, and how important he's been at breaking up plays and preventing opportunities. It comes down to personnel. And again, you said it a minute ago, when you get the opportunity, if you're Kevin Garcia, Alejandro Fuenmayor, you've got to take your chances. If you want to play, you got to take your chances. If you want this team to make the playoffs, you are an integral part of that this year with the international competitions and all the other things that are causing these players to miss games. They've got to step up, and they've got to be big. And it's up to Wilmer and his staff to get that out of them, however he knows. But missing Minor Figueroa is huge.
So some of the players that I think we would put under the spotlight here, Cristobal, he's got to contribute. Alejandro Fuenmayor is another one that could be fresh that comes in the lineup. Adam Lundqvist, Mauro Manotas, Ronaldo Pena, these are all guys that can be fresh for the Dynamo on Wednesday night. So if you can freshen up the team in a number of areas, that could be the way to getting some points and hopefully 3 points in San Jose, because I'm just not a big believer in singular points anymore. It's too much effort to get a point. Go for it. Go for wins, you know?
When you're losing points at home, you've got to do something on the road. You've got to make up for it. So, and you mentioned Adam Lundqvist, and we talked about a moment ago how important it is for Mauro Manotas to get service. Adam Lundqvist needs to join the attack. if he has anything less than maybe 8 or 10 crosses on Wednesday, I'm not sure that the Dynamo are going to be very successful in the attack. He's got to get balls in the box.
That's a really, really good point, because he does have to bring the width, and the Dynamo didn't get too much of that, or not enough of that. They got a little bit from Marlon Harrison. I don't think that's Tommy McNamara's game. He's generally cutting in on his right. So that was a bit of a problem in Portland. Let me take you to the Women's World Cup. I'm going to go right into VAR, because this is a big discussion, VAR. Are you scared it's being a little bit overused here and stopping and starting games and maybe putting the integrity of our game in a little bit of trouble in the future?
It's become farcical, and not the fact that it's being used. You go back to the Men's World Cup and how efficient those VAR checks were and how quickly they went. You think, oh, wow, they've got this figured out. This is awesome. This is great. But VAR is meant to take kind of the objectiveness out of it, the opinion of the referee out of it, but it hasn't. It hasn't. If anything, it's magnified the different opinions of different referees on the field and in that video review room. It's so confusing. I mean, you might as well roll the dice. Are they going to overturn the call, or are they going to uphold it? What are they going to do? You just don't know. You thought going into this, you could call it easy, but now it's the goalkeeper stepping off the line. I mean, it really has become farcical. I think that I would love to go back to the days where the referee has to make the call in that moment. And maybe just, if you're limiting VAR to offside, that's the one thing. Offside is the one rule where there's no gray area. It is or it isn't. You're in an offside position when the ball is played, or you're not. And, I mean, all the handballs and all of these other things, you know, straight red cards and trying to judge a player's intent and all these things, I think it's become farcical. VAR has made a mockery of this World Cup, and I think it's disappointing. It's disappointing for us to see how far the quality of the women's game has come. I think this takes away from that. That's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about the technical ability, the tactical acumen of all of these teams that have come so far. Look at the Italians. Look what they won. They haven't qualified for a World Cup. I think I saw after the game today in the last four, and now they're in the quarterfinals. That's the stuff that we should be talking about. We shouldn't be talking about VAR.
Well, you're right. You're making a great point there, because a lot of the conversation now is around VAR, and it's not around players and star building and tactics and the growth of these great soccer playing nations that we're hearing, and it's all a quest for perfection. And I think it adds to pressure for referees, because now they're getting the word from the video assistant referee, and they don't want to be wrong. It's still in some ways very subjective, and I don't think it was meant to be the main ingredient in the cocktail. It was meant to be a garnish. It was meant to help. And I think it has gone overboard in this Women's World Cup. Now, maybe it's because they didn't prepare for it correctly. Maybe there's some other elements there, because it has worked better in the Men's World Cup. But don't forget, it's coming to the Premier League next year. And, man, if they don't get that right, that is going to be a real, real chaotic situation. Thanks, Eddie.
Anytime, my man. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, we're going to take a break. Before we go to break, quick word for my friends down at Advantage BMW Midtown. I've driven a BMW for years. In fact, at least I've owned. I love the drive of the car. I have a 5 Series. Love it. The other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. Second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown, as you covered, with sales, service, and finance, it can be done so easy. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Get down there. Say hello to my friends Philip and Justin. We'll take a break right now. As we go to break, just a quick reminder here. It's Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, July 20th. And that match at Energy Stadium, Ticketmaster.com for your tickets for two legendary clubs, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. And by the way, between 2 and 4 o'clock, we will be at Advantage BMW Midtown with a live show, giving away a pair of tickets to that match, plus a signed Bayern Munich David Alaba jersey. So that'll be the place to go. 2 to 4, we'll have food down there, drink. Come down to Advantage BMW Midtown July 20th from 2 to 4 p.m. We'll take a break. It is a King's Court break. I was thinking to myself, this could be heaven and this could be hell. Then she lit up a candle and she showed me the way.
listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Ingrid Engen, she's 21 years old, probably facing the most pressure of her professional career. Engen is ready on the whistle. The shot! No, he's through!
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. We're in the home stretch here. We're going to talk a little Women's World Cup here with a lady that played in it, Angela Kelly of the University of Texas. She is the head soccer coach at Texas right now. Before we get to that, though, a quick word here for Tri-Eagle Energy. Now, not only is Tri-Eagle Energy bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days, they're giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for an entire year. Now, if you want to learn more, text POWER, P-O-W-E-R, to 77177. Sign up for any Power to Win electricity plan and receive two Dynamo game tickets, two t-shirts, and you're automatically enrolled to enter free electricity for a year. Now, each time the Dynamo win a home game, and by the way, they're good at home, a lucky fan has the opportunity to win a free year of electricity. Again, you can also enter to win by texting POWER to 77177. Visit TriEagleEnergy.com to learn more. PUCT hashtag 10064. Angela Kelly and Texas, they are a big part of the Austin soccer scene, UT. And of course, we know Austin FC has just gotten deposits on 30,000 season tickets in a 24-hour span. Well, we talked to Angela Kelly about the World Cup, about Austin FC, and much, much more. This interview occurring a couple of days ago. Angela, thank you for coming on.
It's a pleasure, Glenn.
Yeah, this is always fun. Now, look, I've looked at Canada, so I'm going to start with Canada with you. Defeated Cameroon 1-0, 2-0 over New Zealand. Good win there. Lost their last group game to the Netherlands. They're going to play Sweden, which is going to be a very tough game in the round of 16. Overall, how about some thoughts on the Canadian women's national team?
Yeah, I watched the match, and I thought it was a chess match. I have a lot of respect for Serena Wigman and the Netherlands. Serena was a teammate of mine at the University of North Carolina way back in the day, so I've followed her success, tremendous coach. And I thought her and Kenneth went back and forth in a little bit of a chess match, and it was a great battle. Canada has their track set, and I know that now they'll just be rested and get themselves ready to go in that round of 16.
You know, it's always interesting to me, and just tying it into UT and the Big 12, you know, Kadisha Buchanan, Janine Becky, we've seen them come through Austin. We've seen them at Mike Meyer Stadium against your Longhorns. And, of course, those two girls are women representing WVU and Texas Tech. So there is a little bit of a Big 12 tie here.
Yes, and then you add in Ashley Lawrence in the mix as well that also represent West Virginia. Janine Becky is a tremendous goal scorer. She was a fantastic collegiate player, and she's just continued to develop her game. I believe she's playing over in England. That's a credit to her. And all three of them are playing over in Europe and then just continue to develop. They certainly are cornerstones for Canada in this event and certainly have many more years to play. So I'm all the Canadian fans will be really excited about that.
Talking to Angela Kelly, head coach of the University of Texas women's soccer team. We've seen some amazing performances. We've seen a bounce back from Australia. Sam Kerr with a four-goal game. Viviane Maduma of the Netherlands. Barbara Bonaseo of Italy. Cristiana Girelli scoring goals for a rising Italy. Oshawala with Nigeria. That's into the round of 16. What sticks out to you? 106 goals have been scored, close to three a game. What sticks out to you in this tournament?
Well, I think just the movement off the ball. There's been a number of goals scored inside the six, and then you're getting more creative finishes from in and around the 12, and then just you've even seen some bombs from outside the 18. But I think there's a lot of creative movements. The goal that the U.S. scored today was Their first goal within two minutes and 50 seconds, I believe, off a corner kick. It was really created by Mewis's near post run. She had great flick. You know, that you just can't go beyond talking about that, because that whole goal is not created without that flick and getting in front of that first defender, and then Horan to time her secondary run and to tap that goal in. It just made a statement. You know, I think the U.S. is all about making statements, and they certainly made one the first match, and then they continue to look to get more hungry and a little bit sharper today. I thought they was their greatest challenge playing Sweden, and they look sharp. I thought Rose Lavelle at the 10 was fantastic. And then you have Mewis and Horan, who are spraying the ball back and forth, switching the point at ease. And it was a really enjoyable game to watch. I loved the first half, and I think the U.S. Are a team to be reckoned with.
So the U.S. on Monday will take on Spain. Canada will advance to the next round, obviously, round of 16. They'll take on Sweden. We're talking to University of Texas women's head coach Angela Kelly, four NCAA titles at North Carolina, represented the Canadian national team in World Cup competition as well. Does anybody stop the United States, Angela? I just have to ask it real clear like that.
Well, I think, you know, Glenn, it's going to come down to the game of USA versus France. I don't want to get ahead of anybody or jinx anybody, because certainly as a coach, that's something we never do. But if indeed that USA-France matchup occurs, I believe whoever wins that match is going to go on to win the tournament.
What is it you like about France?
Gosh, you know, and I thought they made a great statement in their opener. There's a ton of pressure that's on the host team. I think they stepped up to the plate in that opening match. I think the crowds in the country have really embraced the whole event. But just France is just continuing to answer. And, you know, I thought they started off really strong in the first match, and a little bit of a lull in the second, but you know, they're just setting their minds for the next round of 16 and further. So I think they haven't peaked yet, but they have all the weapons. And gosh, if we really do see a USA France matchup, I believe, will it be in the semis or the quarters? Is that where it'll be? That's going to be one heck of a matchup.
Now, you just mentioned something very important. This is a short tournament, which gives you bragging rights for 4 years, and you know tournament competition from your playing days, your coaching days as well. Generally, you have an off day. You got to kind of hope the off day is something that you can kind of get through. But the way this is scheduled out for the United States, the way they've eased into this tournament, now have gotten better competition, obviously, in a very good Sweden heading into the round of 16. That plus this unbelievable depth that they have up front, these have to be two very, very positive things for the United States.
Yes, they do. I mean, let's knock on wood here, but I haven't seen any really bad injuries that are going to keep any player out of the tournament thus far, which is great. So I think depth is really, really critical. I mean, you look at the Netherlands, and I know Serena's only played close to 14 players. Doesn't seem to be bothering them yet. They obviously have a great fitness base, but if they go to be matched up against a team as deep as United States, who's been able to spray around some minutes, you just never know, right? When it gets down to how many minutes on an individual's legs. But I was a player, and I'm still a coach in the belief that don't talk to me about how many minutes are on my legs when it comes to semifinals or the final of a World Cup. You're going to find all the minutes you need. These players have dreamt about these moments. So I think you can manage a little bit in the round play, maybe in the round of 16. But I'm not a coach that's interested in managing. I'm just interested in winning. And I know that when it gets down to the quarters, the semis, and the finals, you're going to find a ton of players that are going to feel like they haven't even played a match yet, because they're going to be ready to go.
Last one before I let you go, because, look, there's no doubt MLS is going to blow up in Austin here. Austin FC is I think it's 30,000 deposits down for season tickets. It's percolating. It's ascending. It's just gradually growing here now and getting closer with different things being announced with partnerships and season tickets. And now there's, you know, the owner, Anthony Precourt, came out and said there's going to be a pursuit of Chicharito Hernandez, who's at West Ham United, former Manchester United, Mexico star. Do you see this as all ships, when it comes to soccer, will rise with the tide of Austin FC?
1,000%. 1,000%. I could not be more excited that we have an MLS franchise, and Austin FC is, you know, there's a continued buzz, and as you mentioned, it's just continuing to grow. It's going to be a fantastic venue. The city's hungry for it, and I've always am just a fan of the game. Anytime you can experience watching and viewing the game at the highest level, is fantastic. So for our players, you know, we're gonna be great supporters. I'm gonna encourage all of our players to be watching and attending the matches. I'll be attending the training sessions and looking to help out in any way I can. It's just a great environment to continue to grow the game and learn the game. And I think the fans in Austin, I think the fans in South Texas, to be fair, all of Texas, are just really excited to have a team in the southern region of Texas. And if Chicharito happens to put on an Austin FC jersey, watch out, because this town will explode.
Angela, as always, thank you so much for your time. Continued success preparing for the season. I think your first practice match will be on August 16th against Air Force. It's right around the corner. It's coming quickly, the 2019 season. As always, thank you so much for coming on the radio with me.
It's a pleasure, Glenn. We're hard at work here in the 40 acres, and we're counting down the days and just really excited to get everything started. Really appreciate your support, and you're doing a wonderful job covering this Women's World Cup, and I always enjoy listening to your matches.
Angela, thank you very much. It's texassports.com. That's where you go to find out more about the Longhorn program. A big thank you to all of our guests here tonight, all who listened in. Congratulations to those of you winning Gold Cup tickets here tonight. Again, we remind you, Bayern Munich coming to Houston July 20th to take on Real Madrid. Get your tickets at ticketmaster.com. And also, don't forget the third annual Soccer Matters Houston Soccer Community for Pediatric Cancer Dinner. The keynote speaker is Brian McClair, former Manchester United star, Celtic, Scotland. And by the way, he was the first signing for Alex Ferguson when he got the Manchester United job. This is a man who won 4 Premier League titles, 2 FA Cups, a European Cup Winners' Cup, 1 European Super Cup. And this is an event that I'm really sticking my heart out to you, because all proceeds go to a 501c Curing Children's Cancer Fund and the Snowdrop Foundation and my friend Kevin Klein. This is all to benefit pediatric cancer research at TCH. 4-course meal. There's a raffle. There's going to be a soccer ball signed by all the Liverpool players that won, by the way, the Champions League title. Plus, we have an all-expenses-paid trip to go and see a Premier League match of your choice. Amazing auction items. It's an event that brings the soccer community together. For tickets, they're only $110. I mean, half of that, that's your meal right there. Tom Clare, C-L-A-R-E, 346 at gmail.com. For Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza, I'm Glenn Davis. Don't forget Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc, Facebook Soccer Matters. Until next Tuesday, remember, soccer matters.